Hebrews chapter 11. I'm only going to preach the first part of this message tonight. I'll preach the second part of it next week. We're continuing our study through Hebrews chapter 11, dealing with faith. And again, I don't know if at all it's been helping you in a little bit of understanding and faith, growing by faith, but I know for me, it's helping me. And so I'm enjoying studying this and learning from this and being challenged by this. Tonight, we're going to look at the strength of faith. We looked the last 2 weeks at the obedience of faith, and tonight we'll look at the strength of faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, I'm going to read two verses, Hebrews 11 and verse 11. The Bible says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one and him as good as dead. I love that verse. That's like God is like making fun of Abraham. Even as one is dead. Abraham was 100 years old. God's picking on him. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. Lord, as we come to you tonight, Lord, Father, what a joy it is, Father. What a satisfying, good feeling, Lord, it is to be in church tonight, Father, to hear these wonderful testimonies. Lord, to know that Father, we may not agree on everything, but Lord, we do agree on one thing, and that's you. Lord, I just pray, Father, that our hearts would continue to stay knit together, that Lord, you would strengthen the core, the foundation of this church. Father, we'd be able to reach many lives, many more lives. Lord, I pray that the word of God tonight, Lord, even if it's just this one point, Lord, would help somebody today, Lord, to gain some understanding about how much we need to have strength in our faith. But Lord, that strength comes from you. Give us wisdom tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It seems to me today that people are becoming increasingly aware of their health. And many employ a variety of lifestyle changes in order to increase their vitality and their strength. I think of Landa, who gets up at like 4 in the morning and runs like a gazillion miles every day, and she posts all that she runs and everything that she does, and just reading how much she runs makes me tired. I gotta sit down and eat a Twinkie and drink a Coke. I'm just wore out from hearing about her running. But people do all kinds of things. Some people are on strict diets. I'm on a strict diet also. It's called a seafood diet. When I see food, I eat it. So people are on all different kinds of diets. I remember back when the Atkins diet was huge, and people would order a burger without the bread, and all that other kind of crazy stuff. And then there's the South Beach diet, I think is another one. What are some other diets? I don't know names of diets.
The Daniel Fast.
The Daniel Fast, yeah, I've heard of that. Austin?
Diet.
The diet diet? Are there any other names of diets?
Phase 1 diet.
The Phase 1 diet.
Diet.
Yeah, we've got Atkins.
South Beach diet.
South Beach, got that one too.
A low carb diet.
Wes?
My favorite, the seafood diet.
Yeah. Seafood diet.
You can tell these guys are downstairs counting money. They're repeating everything that was already said. That's a good diet though too. I like that one. Isaac?
And all those Weight Watchers and different ones like that.
Same. Yeah, Weight Watchers, Jenny Craig. There's another one that Dan Marino is always on TV for. Nutrisystem, yeah. Nutrisystem.
OptiFast?
The wrestler
diet. Subway diet.
The Subway diet? I like the Subway diet. The Jared diet.
Yeah.
You know, there's all kinds of diets, but then there's, you know, and that's what some people do. Their dieting is important. For some, it's cycling or biking. You know, some people, I know my wife, when she's not pregnant, is on an elliptical, and she would work out on that all the time, watching soap operas and all that kind of stuff. No, she didn't watch that stuff. My wife does not watch dirt operas. But so some people are into cycling, some people are into lifting weights. Myself, I had to stop. I couldn't fit my arms in my sleeves anymore, so I had to stop lifting the weights. Or some people it's lifting weights, some people it's running on treadmills, which I'll never understand running on a treadmill. I feel like a horse. And I just have no interest in running on a treadmill, because that's what they do for horses, for equestrian training and that kind of stuff. They have them on treadmills. And I feel like where you're chasing that carrot attached to the front and you're running, but you're not going anywhere. It's just annoying. Some people are into eating organic foods. How many of you eat organically? Two of you. Most of us can't afford it. I do like organic raw almonds. Brother Chet got me hooked on organic raw almonds. I can eat those all day. Enjoy them. How many of you stretch every day? Now, not on accident. Not like, oh, I can't get the remote. Oh, that's not what I'm talking about. We were doing a move, and I won't get into detail, but let's just say the people were not physically in shape at all. And the lady was so lazy, she had one of those claws, the only thing, and you squeeze it, and it pinches on the end, and that's how she would pick up everything. She was too lazy to actually get up and go get something. She would use a claw. She'd use the claw to grab her soda and bring it in. I mean, wow, unbelievable. But some people get into stretching, and that's a good exercise. And let's be honest, it's really not that difficult to increase our physical strength if we really want to. It's not that difficult. You'd be surprised what, you know, a few push-ups and a few sit-ups will actually do every day. You'd be really surprised. Tell me how it works out for you. But it's not that difficult. With a little discipline, with a little bit of work, you can become stronger physically. Last year when I started the moving company, it took off out of the gate, and I was moving, you know, several times a week. And I'm not a naturally strong person. My shoulders are shot, so I never got into weightlifting, because as I'm lifting, my shoulders are both click, 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 click. It was driving me nuts. But I noticed that I just felt stronger. And I remember I was so proud of myself. I went up to my wife one day and I said, look, I'm not even flexing. Feel how hard that is, Sherry. I was all impressed with myself. What are you laughing at? Others of us had a lot of time on our hands in the last 16 months to do a lot of working out. That's horrible. eating and living healthy so that your physical strength increases. God gave you one temple, and we ought to take care of it. We ought to do our best to use it to His glory. Some people like to burn it out and trash their body, and they have no one to blame but themselves. Thinking about how in our society, I mean, that's it. It's all about being in shape now, and it's a blessing. I remember there was a day when pastors that were just so out of shape and overweight and out of control, and then they'd get up and rip on everybody's sin. And I'm sitting out there going, you're missing one.
Yes, amen.
You're missing one. You preach on everybody else's sins, but I've seen you go out to eat and you put down four Big Macs. And so I'm thankful for friends and preacher friends and Christians that are doing what they can. Again, it's not about what size you are, it's about what are you doing to control that and curb that and the discipline that comes with that. But as much as our society is so into our physical strength, let me ask you a question tonight. What are you doing to increase your spiritual strength? If we could have a spiritual x-ray tonight, how would we look? I think some of the muscular human beings, if we were to take a spiritual scripture, would look anemic, would look frail, would look like they're barely surviving. There's a verse in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8 that says, for bodily exercise profiteth little. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but, 1 Timothy 4:8, but godliness is profitable unto all things.
Amen.
Somebody asked Curtis Hudson one time, he was into exercising and training and biking, and they said, you know the Bible says, for bodily exercise profiteth little. And he said, yeah, I like to get as much of that little as I possibly can. But understand, it's comparison. It's not don't exercise. It's understand the profit compared to spiritual growth is so much more important. Last 2 weeks, we studied Abraham's faith to obey God and to trust him without even understanding where God was directing him. He was obedient. That's the kind of faith we need. Just obedient faith. Just what does God say? That's what I'm going to do. But today we're introduced to Abraham's wife, Sarah. Sarah had received the same promise that Abraham did, that they would be blessed with the son in their old age. Now don't lose your spot there in Hebrews. Mark it somehow. Go back to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis and chapter 17. And look at verse 19, Genesis 17 and verse 19. And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. Now understand the situation. Abraham was operating by faith. And in him operating and living by faith, he was doing that to receive the promise of God. But it will be Sarah who's the one who's going to have to physically labor and work for that promise. Abraham just got the promise, but Sarah's the one who's going to be working, dealing with this promise. She was going to be required to conceive and bear and deliver a child as a 90-year-old woman. That's what God had said to her. Sarah was going to need an unbelievable amount of strength from someplace other than herself in order to see this one through. She knew she didn't have it in and of herself. You ever think about some things in your life and you say, man, I really need some strength right now? It's got to be more than the strength that you have. That's what Sarah's feeling. She just got told through her husband, hey, guess what? We're going to have a child. Now, the Bible talks about how she laughed because she didn't believe it at first. God dealt with her, but she eventually got it right. The blessing, when we're talking about needing strength from someplace other than ourselves, where God guides, He provides. And so when we're following God's leadership, God's going to provide us because He's the one who's leading us in that direction. Turn your Bibles now to the book of Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah in chapter 40. And look at verse 28. Isaiah 40 verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. A promise from God. Where God guides, He provides. So if you're walking with God and you're wanting God to increase your faith and you're wanting God to use you to do something great for Him, you need to, number one, like we talked about last week, obey. And then as you're obeying, trust God to provide. How about you here tonight? Are you operating spiritually in the strength of the Lord? Not in your own strength, in the strength of the Lord. Are you holding back in your Christian life because you lack strength? I was pleased that every man came up here and led singing. The truth is, some men, the last thing they ever want to do is stand up in front of a crowd. You're looking at one of them back when I was younger. Did not want to be in front of a crowd. Now, it's okay. I can handle it now. I'm a little comfortable. Grayson does not like being in front of a crowd. Gavin does not like being in front of a crowd. Dave's terrified of being in front of a crowd. Just different people. But here's the thing. A lot of us don't go forward for God because we feel we lack strength. That's not something that I'm good at, so therefore I just don't do it. And so God could open up a whole new avenue in your life of usefulness, but because you feel you're not strong enough or good enough or whatever, it doesn't get accomplished. How do we experience the power of God at work in our lives? Do you rely on your own strength to supply victory? As we just read here in Isaiah, God's power is available, but it is available to those who will wait upon the Lord through faith. It's an interesting verse there, but they that wait upon the Lord. My wife enjoys listening to Adrian Rogers. He's since passed away, solid Baptist preacher of yesteryear. And my wife said, Adrian Rogers made this statement. And she said, you ever read that verse, that they that wait upon the Lord? She said, you ever think that that doesn't mean like waiting, like sitting around, like it actually means like a waiter or a waitress to wait on the Lord? I said, honey, I preached that years ago. She goes, I wasn't sure, I thought so, but Adrian Rogers just says it better. But that's the truth. So many times, this is what we do. We literally sit back and just wait. That's not what that verse is teaching. It's wait as in waiting on a table, waiting on a staff, getting busy serving. They that wait upon the Lord. I find the more I serve God, and listen to me now, here's the key, doing it through God's strength, I'm fine. I'm not depressed. I'm not burnt out. I'm not tired. The more that I want to do for God when I do it in His strength, because here's the thing, if I'm doing it through the Holy Spirit's power, He's the one empowering me, so it's based on His power, not mine. If it's based on my power, I'd be done. I'm tired. I'm wore out. But if I do it on God's power, that's a limitless power source.
Right.
Notice now the progression of a life filled with strength and power. God, again, I'm just going to give you the first point here. There's a progression here of a life filled with the strength and power of God, not your own strength. Let's pretend you had no strength. Are you still willing to step out by faith and trust God to do whatever needs to be accomplished? Many of us step out in an area that we think we're strong in. I'll teach a class. Why? Because I like kids. Well, why don't you teach a class even if you don't like kids? Well, why don't you just sing anyway because it would honor God. And so forth and so on and on we can go. Number one, we see the depletion of material strength. The depletion of material strength. Back in our text, if you will, in Hebrews 11 and verse 11, the Bible says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Mankind in the Bible was originally created with the strength and power needed to live a life pleasing to God. Talking about the Garden of Eden. God created them. They were, man at the time was not corrupted. Man was not weak. Man did not have a depraved flesh. Man did not suffer under continual temptation. None of that took place in the Garden of Eden. Man was created perfectly, but somewhere along the line, the original strength that God intended for us to have was depleted from our lives because of the sin of Adam and Eve. And when we talk about the depletion of material strength, one of the ways we can see that is our failure. It says there in the middle of verse 11, when she was past age. One thing you and I cannot do is go back in time. We can't go back and recapture the years that have expired. We were moving Lori into her apartment a few weeks ago, and Brother Glenn was on the back of the truck, and he was bringing stuff to the front of the truck, and we were talking, and he said, this literally drives me crazy. This literally, you know, this really bugs me. And I said, what's that? He said that I can't do what I used to be able to do. He goes, there was a day when I could pick up any of these things and carry it by myself. He goes, now I have to watch you young guys get in here and grab the stuff and carry it because I can't get it anymore. And he said, and it bugs me that the strength that I used to have, I don't have anymore. I mean, I think of my own life, and I'm super old, going to be 40 here in another month or so. I'm like over the hill, coming down the other side. It's all, but I remember, you know, I watched these kids play basketball, and I remember when I could slam dunk a basketball and play for 7, 8, 9, 10 hours a day and not even be tired. Now I just pick up a basketball and I'm ready to lay down and take a nap. We played at the picnic 2 years ago, I remember, and Raymer was there, and Caleb and a bunch of us were playing down at the course there for our July 4th picnic. And after one or two trips, I was gassed. I needed an oxygen tank. I was just like, I'll just sit down here and cherry pick. Just throw me the ball. I don't even want to run anymore. In the day, man, I may have to just run and run and go and go and go. Sarah here was past the age of bearing children. And one thing we cannot do is go back and recapture the spiritual strength that was lost in the fall of man because of Adam and Eve. But the truth is, in ourselves, we fail to have strength to live and obey. We have all these thoughts and all these desires. I'm going to stand for God. God's going to use me. And it just seems that we fail. Our spiritual strength isn't what it ought to be. God supplied Adam and Eve with all the strength they would ever need. God gave that to them. They walked with God. They talked with God every day. But what happened? They failed. They failed. The Bible says in Genesis 3, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. When we operate in our own strength and we fail, we always run from God. We always hide from God. That day, way back then, that day, our spiritual strength was depleted. Mankind at that point in time failed to secure the power of God. Their failure, Romans 5:12, now death's passed upon all of us because of Adam's sin. And so there's a failure. Our strength is depleted. And it started back in the Garden of Eden. We are not born spiritually strong. Not only that, but our flesh. Go to Psalm chapter 73. Psalm 73. Without God's power, where do we turn and who do we turn to for strength? We, unfortunately, turn to ourselves. We turn to our own flesh for strength. Look at Psalm 73, verse 26. My flesh and my heart, what?
Faileth.
My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. John 6:63 says, it is the spirit that quickeneth, but then it says, the flesh profiteth nothing. Nothing. Could Sarah have done anything to change her situation? Absolutely not. She needed to rely on the Lord. Her body was old. Her body was weary. Her body was tired. She's now 90 years old. It's just a wear and tear of life. And she knew she could not trust her own flesh to accomplish this task. Guess what? Neither can you or I. I don't care how young or vigorous or strong or whatever you think you are, if you think you can have this type of strength that these people have in Hebrews chapter 11 to accomplish something great for God, you think you have your own strength to do it, you will fall flat on your face. You will fail, and I will fail every time. Galatians 5:16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." By the way, I got a call from Keith this week. He told me you stole my sermon from last week and preached it at him on the phone. Walk in the Spirit. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Why? Why does it say that? Well, it explains it in verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Paul explained it again in Romans chapter 7, verse 18. Paul says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me," in other words, I want to, "but how to perform that which is good, I find not." In other words, I have the desire just to live for God and say no to sin and have victory and do something great for God. I have that will. I have that desire in me. But the actual performing of it, I fall flat on my face every time. I'm going to do this, and then you don't do it. Anyone ever been there? God, I'm going to make this change. And about 2 or 3 days later, maybe a week later, you've stopped. Why? Probably because you put confidence in your flesh to do it, and you didn't get the strength from God to do it. Our weakness comes as a result of living in the flesh. The sooner you and I realize, I am weak. Brian preached about it at New Year's Eve. Wonderful, wonderful message. I am weak. I'm weak. I am not as strong as I think I am, spiritually speaking. I'm weak. If I think I can conquer this flesh in my own strength, I've actually just done the opposite. I've strengthened it. And now I've just made the battle twice as hard. A young man filled out an application for admission to a university. And on that list, paperwork that he had to fill out, one of the statements said, "List your personal strengths." And it had all these blank lines. So he wrote, "Sometimes I'm trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent." And then the next thing listed said, "List your weaknesses." And he wrote, "Sometimes I'm not trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent." None of us are perfect. The greatest day you will ever experience as a Christian besides salvation is when you learn to no longer trust your flesh. It'll be a great day for you. When you do not, Paul said, "Do not put confidence in my flesh. I don't trust it." And the day you realize that will be a great day for you spiritually. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" That's why I said the other week, what a dumb statement. Follow your heart. That's one of the dumbest things you can do. Your heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. Desperately wicked. Don't follow your heart. Follow the Bible. Don't follow the world's philosophies. It is a fleshly philosophy to say, follow your heart. Trust your feelings. That's the last thing I want to put any confidence in. What I want to do is I want to say, God, here's what I'm thinking, but God, what do you say about it? And then do what God says about it. And I find that when I do what God says about it, He gives me the strength to accomplish what I'm trying to accomplish by faith. You know, living the Christian life is no easier for me as your pastor than it is for you as a church member. It's no easier. Well, it's easy for you. You're the pastor. Where do you get that in here? 1,500 pastors a week resign their churches. It's no easier. If anything, can I propose to you? It's harder.
That's right.
I can't just do a lot of things and put them on Facebook and post pictures out there that everybody else puts out there because, man, if I live that kind of a lifestyle, people say, I thought you were a pastor. So there's a lot of things that we may have liberty to do, but we choose not to do simply because we don't want to be a bad testimony. But more than that, there's a lot of things that I've got to think about and pray about, and Lord, I need your strength. God, I need your strength to say no to temptation. Temptation hits me the same way it hits you. Fighting things in the flesh hit me the same. Look, I'm married, I got 4, soon to be 5 children. Just like any of us that has children, there are frustrations. There are times when you're just not up to it. There are Sundays, to be honest with you, in the last almost 12 years now, there are times, is it 12 years? What anniversary is coming up for our church?
The 3rd anniversary of the 10th.
The 3rd anniversary of the 10th. So that's our 13th. That's our treasure talk. Isn't this our 12th anniversary coming up? 12th anniversary. I'll be honest, there are times in the last 12 years when, you know what, I should not have been behind this pulpit preaching. Because my flesh was winning, not my spirit. And I preached the Word of God, and I remember preaching saying, Lord, use your Word because you surely ain't using me today. Let the Word just get out there and speak to hearts. Get the messenger out of the picture. And by the way, keep the messenger out of the picture anytime you hear preaching. Just focus on the Word. Focus on the message. But we got to realize we are not as strong as we think we are. I don't care how long you've been in church. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how much Bible you know. I don't care how many people you've led to the Lord, how many visitors you brought to church, how many bus kids you picked up, whatever illustration or example or victory you want to use, the sooner we realize I'm not as strong as I think I am, God, I need you. Sarah was past her age. God came to her and said, you and Abraham are having a baby. And Sarah did what most of us would do. Laughed. Right, God? Sure. God, you do realize how old I am, right? You do understand that, right? Here's the thing. When God tells you to do something, He's going to guide you through it. He's going to take care of you. The reason why many of us take a step of faith for God and then bail out is because we don't rely on God's strength. We're relying on our own strength. And that's why we don't see the victory, and we throw in the towel, and we quit. And there's a progression here. We'll look at the next 2 points next week. But let's tonight really think about, am I fighting my spiritual battles with God's power, or am I fighting my spiritual battles in my and with my own flesh? And I challenge you this week, think about your struggles. Think about your battles. Think about the areas in your life that you want to trust God by faith. And then follow that up with, Lord, I need you to do it. God, I need you to give me the Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm confiding in you. I'm in the Bible getting answers. I'm on my knees begging God. And I'm going to trust God with it and go forward. Let's all stand to our feet. Wonderful testimonies, exciting times. Another great great Sunday at church. But when you wake up tomorrow, you still got to deal with the reality that you're still dealing with your flesh. You're still dealing with the same struggles, the same battles, because the devil's going to do everything he can to get you discouraged and quit. But God's people need to covenant with God today and say, Lord, I understand that I don't have that natural spiritual power, that God, I have to exercise myself spiritually by getting in the Word of God, praying, begging you, God, to strengthen me and give me victory over things in my life that I need to get victory over. That, again, may be big. Sarah, you're having a kid. What? And there may be things that you're dealing with that in your heart you say, God, this is so much. God, I'm not strong enough. And God says, you're right. You're not. You need to rely on me. The piano begins to play. The Holy Spirit's dealing with you tonight.